I wrote a review for this hotel and I found two other reviews that were much, much more horrible experiences. So one had like cockroaches. It's so funny. And then the other one had like stuff stolen from their room.
Entrepreneurs love talking about business. However, it's no secret there's also so many other things they love talking about, which are not about business. In the Sea of Business podcasts, none of your business is a refreshing break, a surprise kiss, an afternoon fizz. Through Carla's cheeky and radical takes on mundane and heavy topics, you'll gain fresh insights that guarantee you something to talk about on your first Tinder date, while visiting grandma, or if you want to impress your new boss. Tired of business podcasts? Tune in to None of Your Business. New episodes weekly.
Hi, good morning. This is Carla, and we're here at None of Your Business, where we talk about everything except the business. I usually have a lot of really interesting people. Sometimes they could be business people or entrepreneurs. Sometimes they're not. And we just talk about topics that are super duper interesting and sometimes controversial, sometimes radical, but it's going to be a really, really fun conversation. I guarantee that. So here with me is Svetoslav, one of my really good friends, you know, online. We really haven't met in person, but we've been friends on Facebook. He is a copywriter and he's also the co-founder and writer of 33traveltips.com. He has spent years and years of traveling. And for today, we're going to talk about what it's like to travel alone. So Svet, welcome to the show. How are you today?
Hey, thank you very much for the lovely introduction. And hey, everybody that's listening to the podcast. I'm doing great, actually. I'm not traveling right now, so I'm not doing fantastic, but yeah, still great.
Yeah. So can you tell us where you're based right now? And, you know, very quickly, why you chose that place? And you've been to so many places.
Yeah. Well, I'm still living in my own country, Bulgaria, and I'm based in the capital, Sofia, which is a great city for the digital nomads. We have tons of co-working spaces and we have still affordable prices compared to Western Europe. Mm-hmm. But now with inflation, everything is crazy, so we'll never know. But yeah, it's a lovely place. I have established a few companies here. The tax, it's like a tax haven here because we have a 10% tax flat rate. Mm-hmm. And it's very friendly for businesses and for digital nomads, as I mentioned. And yeah, I'm living with my fiance here. So, but we're not tied to any location, which I think is great. And we travel as much as possible.
Oh, that's good. So for people who have never been to Sofia, Bulgaria, can you share something with us that might surprise, you know, most people who haven't visited your place?
There are many, many things that are interesting about the capital, although I don't regard it as the most beautiful city in our country. Mm-hmm. But one of the most interesting facts about Sofia is more than 6,000 years old. Mm-hmm. Another thing is that we have like many hot mineral springs around the city. So you can drink hot water that's very, very good for your health, almost like at least 10 different spots in the city. Mm-hmm. And we have very high mountains that are like 20 minutes away from the capital by car. So you can go skiing in winter very, very quickly. Mm-hmm. And yeah, I think these are like the city is drenched in history. There were Romans, ancient Thracians, and a lot of other things that have been happening here. So definitely worth a visit.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I've seen some pictures of Bulgaria on like travel Instagram accounts too. It's just so beautiful. And it's so nice to hear about these places that, you know, are not very, you know, they're not exactly like famous honeymoon destinations or, you know, like Maldives or something, Bora Bora, right? Yeah. But they're like kind of off the beaten path and there's a lot of things, a lot of new things to discover. So when did you start traveling and what is your main purpose or gain from traveling?
Well, if I don't count any travels at home in my home country, I started traveling abroad when I was 20, which was like 15 years ago. Ooh. But compared to most people, I've I have started traveling really, really late.
Mm-hmm.
But since then, it was like a very quick trip to Istanbul, to Turkey.
Mm-hmm.
And then I went to a work and travel program, which is very popular in Eastern Europe, to mm-hmm. the US for 3.5 months. So there you go. Like, I had really experienced firsthand how to be alone and how to work. And then I traveled for a few weeks.
Mm-hmm.
And I made some money, which was great. And I visited New York, which was a dream of mine. I visited Miami,
mm-hmm.
which I revisited this year, both cities actually. So this is when I started, and I really developed a passion for traveling since then, because I realized that the money that you spend on traveling is, mm-hmm. is money well spent. Like,
absolutely.
Yeah. There's no other thing that you can waste money on. In a way that
right.
better than traveling. So I think that's how I realized it. And I actually made some good money when I was working in the US, but I spent at least one third of it just for traveling, but I don't regret a single cent that I spent. So
absolutely. Absolutely. I remember the first time I traveled outside of my country too. I went to Australia and mm-hmm. Of course, as a Filipino, I have a Philippine passport. I have to get a visa. And so that was also an additional expense for me. And financially, I wasn't fully ready for that trip too, because I didn't expect how expensive. And I was at Sydney, Australia was. And I think I maxed out my credit cards during that trip alone. Yeah. But also, please remember, I don't even have a very high limit at that time. This was like 2015. And I think I maxed out my credit cards. And I was just so nervous because I'm like, oh my gosh, like, obviously, like when I max out my card, I have, you know, nothing else after or something, right? So it was so funny because I was really nervous about, you know, running out of money in a different country. Mm. Thankfully, it didn't really happen. You know, it was just in my head. I want to always be ready. And because I was a first time, you know, international traveler, kind of like a amateur, like I didn't know how to stay at hostels. I didn't know how to backpack. Like, so I stayed at... So funny. There was actually one night I stayed at a Four Seasons or something. It was like $300 a night. And like in my head, looking back, it's like, what was I thinking? I was just like, oh, this is nice. It's a hotel downtown. And I really obviously didn't know what I was doing. So it's just funny, like, you know, learning these lessons. But you're absolutely right. Traveling is a really, really good investment. It's experiences. It's, you know, memories, especially when you travel with your loved ones. But in this podcast, we're going to discuss something more specific, which is traveling alone. So tell us about your first solo travel and maybe pros and cons of traveling alone.
Yeah, well, maybe some background is needed for this, because we were traveling with my family through Europe. We did a Euro trip in 2013. Mm-hmm. And I met a Chinese girl at a hotel in Geneva, and we started talking.
Mm-hmm.
And she invited me to visit her in Beijing, in the capital city of China, which I did with a friend of mine. But since we really loved the stay, because she was so friendly, she had her sister and a friend of mine always, mm-hmm. like, we spent 8 days there, and they were with us 24/7, if it was possible, obviously.
Wow.
But We really loved that. They were bargaining for us. They were helping us with everything. They were showing us around. They were showing us hidden gems. And it was really like we really fell in love with the country, or me more than my friend, I guess. So when I came back, I had quit my government job already. And I was like, I need to start learning Chinese, and I want to go to China to find some work, maybe travel.
Mm-hmm.
So that's how in a few months I went to China alone. I found a job and I started working there, but I also had a chance to travel a lot. This was in Guangzhou, which is in the southeastern part of China,
mm-hmm.
very close to Shenzhen, which is the Silicon Valley of China, and Hong Kong, which probably most people know. But Guangzhou was really a great city. I went to Shenzhen, as I mentioned. I went to Guilin. I traveled to a few other places, and the whole city is so big that even traveling there is, you can count as a different travel experience, because mm-hmm. it's a city right now, I think, is the biggest city in terms of agglomeration, around mm-hmm. 50 million people. But the city proper is like 20 million. So it's very, very big city with a lot of history, a lot of traditions. And yeah, this was my first travel. I knew a little bit of Chinese, so I managed to bargain at some places, saying Taiguela, which means very, very expensive.
Oh.
And using some other like numbers, and people really appreciated that. I really love that the Chinese, when you speak, especially when you nail the tones, because it's a tonal language and it's very difficult to, they are like five different tones.
Yeah.
And when you can nail the tones, I was like, wow, you speak Chinese. I said, I speak like 15, maybe 15. 1500 words or whatever, but they were very impressed and they would give me discounts and they would, or at least maybe it's because it's part of their culture that they really love bargaining. When you start bargaining, they are willing to lower the price. So,
right. Yeah. It's like a dance for them or something.
Yeah. Yeah.
And for like people who have experience in sales, like you and me, it's also exciting. It's like a game for us sometimes, right?
It is, like, even if it's let's say the price is $10, if you can get $1 off it, it's still like, wow, I might want something.
Yeah, right. Yeah, I know. And that's also, you know, just like another side note, that's also one benefit of growing up poor. You know, I grew up in a poor country. I grew up poor. And so I saw my parents bargain for everything. And I saw that it was also like exciting. And well, at times it was necessary. And then and then sometimes it was also exciting. I have when I see my friends, or before when I was seeing this guy who grew up rich, he always thought that bargaining was like low class, or he was always embarrassed. We would travel together and then he was embarrassed if I, you know, bargained on something. And I told him, it's not like, he was like, you can afford it. Why do you still bargain? And I'm like, it's not if you can afford it or not. It's like exciting for me. And it's also a bonding moment because that seller, when they're bargaining with you, they're smiling. They're, you know, they're like, it's like the financial version of flirting.
Yeah, exactly. I mean? And it's like a game to them. It's like they want to play the game.
Yeah.
And sometimes I've even heard, maybe not in China, but maybe also in China, that if you don't bargain at all, they would get a bit offended. That is
right.
Like, they would quote the price and you wouldn't still try to reduce it at least by 10% or something, because usually they would quote, like, let's say 300. And then I remember I went around and I saw that the prices are like 30. So it was like 10 times more. And they would say it's 300, but just for you, 150. So you think that you're getting a bargain, but you're not, because it's like five times the regular price.
Yeah.
Price anyway. So I think they just want to like test people. Obviously, if they can get away with 150, they would do it.
Mm-hmm.
But they find it interesting. They find it like, or I think from both sides, especially for me, it's like this rush of adrenaline when you can like really score something. Like, let's say you see something that's like X amount of money, and then you can buy it for X divided by 5, or get a few other things, and you know that is like kind of the real price.
So it
feels great.
Yeah, I love that feeling. What are your favorite things about traveling solo?
Well, my most favorite thing is I don't really have to care about anyone, which means I can just do whatever I want. I can just, if I want, I can sleep all day or do whatever I want, which is like the big thing, because even if you're traveling with just one other person, you have to take all their wishes, all their different travel styles, and all the other things that can really make you, especially when you're traveling with your partner, it can get really, really hard at sometimes, because you're fighting over something that's really, really stupid. But it's just the difference between you and them, and you feel like, oh no, this doesn't make any sense. Why would I go there first? And then I'm like thirsty. I want to eat now. I don't want to spend money here because that makes sense. Or I don't want to spend an hour and a half eating lunch when I have like just, I don't know, 7 hours to explore. Yeah. So I think this is like the main benefit of traveling alone, that you don't have to
care about your schedule. Yeah. It's just you're the boss.
Yeah, you can wake up at whatever time you want and do whatever you want, and nobody's going to yell at you. I think it's very similar to when you're working alone as a freelancer or an entrepreneur, that you don't have a boss and you don't have to obviously you have a boss in a way that you have clients, but at the same time you can say, hey, I don't want to work with you, which is like, hey, I don't want to go to this place, it's very touristic. So this is the main benefit. But also, if I'm gonna talk about the cons, I think because I'm very sociable, I'm an extrovert, and I really love sharing, especially if it's like a very gorgeous like sunset or a place or food that's like so much water, and it's like, oh my god, this is so good. You just want to share it, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
Share that experience at least with one more person, sometimes with more. So I think this is the main, especially if you're like an extrovert like me, you really miss traveling with someone. Mm-hmm. But if you're an introvert and you like to go, like to take your own time and to be your own boss in a way when you're traveling, it's a good way to just travel alone. And
I think in terms of, for me personally, as a girl, there's obviously different kinds, you know, there's a little nuance here and there. The pros for me is the same as you, you know, I can, you know, my schedule is mine, I can do anything. And of course, as an entrepreneur, even if you're on vacation, sometimes there's just things that pop up, right? Like, oh gosh, like you have to work, or I have to actually do this call like in an hour, you know? Or, you know, me, I run a company with like 200 people. There could be something that's happening that I just need to jump on. And, you know, most people will understand, but it could be frustrating, you know, like, for example, if say my boyfriend and I plan this trip at this specific time and we paid a certain money for this, or like an air balloon ride, you know, like something like expensive and special, but I have like a really urgent work emergency, so I have to give up that thing that we paid for, you know, something like that. I don't think it really specifically that thing happened to me, but it's just one of the cons, I guess. And of course, as a girl, you know, you have to take extra care about your safety, I guess, for guys too, because I've heard, you know, I've had friends who also had horrible things happen to them, guy friends, when they're traveling alone overseas. Did you have any negative experiences traveling alone? In terms of safety?
Not really, I think, which is kind of very fortunate for me, because I like to think I'm not the person who like is...
That they would target?
As well, yeah. That you could say that as well. But also something like I try to like keep my baggage that's like... I can probably seem like a person that's like very... What is the word in English? Like
simple, or... You just blend in the crowd, or
not blend in, but probably it's not some person that's like so distracted or something that can easily be distracted.
Oh, because, I see.
Yeah, because when, for instance, pickpockets often work in teams, so they can easily, when you're traveling alone and it doesn't matter whether you're a guy or girl, they can distract you very easily by, let's say, one girl comes and say, hey, whatever, blah blah blah, and then the other person is going through your stuff. So we have to stay vigilant, whatever's happening, especially when you're traveling in big cities. In China, actually, I felt very, very, very safe. I cannot say about the same thing in the US, although it's not as bad as people think. Because when I was in 2007, and I was working like a few hours away from New York City, and some guys were like, you're going to New York City in a few weeks? You're crazy. It's so dangerous. And it's like, come on, it's not that dangerous. It's a big city, obviously. And you can get robbed or something bad could happen, but it doesn't mean it's going to happen, right? And especially because I'm a firm believer of mindset and positive thinking. And when you're thinking something bad's going to happen, probably you're going to draw this energy and it's going to happen anyway. But if you're just like positive and obviously not like just jumping in front of trains or cars, not doing anything crazy like that, then you're going to be safe and you're going to be all right and everything is going to be a smooth experience. But just being vigilant and just having some common sense is going to work very well for most people.
I traveled to New York City for the first time with my sister. I think I was 21. I was 29 that time and she was 26, and you know, there's just two girls, right? So we had to be really careful. We stayed at a at an Airbnb in like the Upper West Side. And there were some alleys, or not really alleys, but there's just some areas that, you know, you would think that it would be dangerous. But just like you, you know, we just, you know, had extra caution. Like we didn't even go out at night except for like a simple dinner. And then we just always taxi or Ubered everywhere. You know, we minimized walking. So you just have to like take extra precaution. I think what would also help personally is, you know, going on Facebook groups of that place, like, or, you know, expat Facebook groups, because the advice is more candid and it's more targeted towards people who are transient or something like that. So I live in Mexico now. I live in Playa del Carmen. It's a city an hour off of Cancun. But Mexico is so big and there's so many nice cities. And if I visit, say, Mexico City or a new city, I just look for a Facebook group and like expats in Mexico City or something like that, because there's always like advice for, you know, car rentals, you know, travels, and just more niche advice. Or I visit like travel blogs like yours, you know, 33traveltips.com or TripAdvisor. TripAdvisor has a lot of very good reviews. So when you're scouting out a place that you want to see or you want to travel, how do you usually decide, like, oh, this is the next place that I'm going to, you know, visit or see?
Well, usually because the biggest expense is the flight, I usually go first with the flight, unless it's something in Europe and we have low-cost airlines here. And sometimes it's just like $50 a return ticket or even less, which is great. Mm-hmm. But most of the time, especially if I'm traveling internationally, like overseas, I would usually go with the flight. Mm-hmm. And then I would probably, when I secure a good flight, then the next thing that I would do would be the hotel or accommodations. Because we went to Florida this year, hotels were so expensive that we just searched for Airbnbs, mm-hmm. which were probably around the same price, mm-hmm. but it was in a very big condo, like very, very, very high rise building with a condo, and we were with a local family. And they had like pools everywhere, like on the 45th floor, infinity pool. So it was like so much better than just a regular hotel. So
yeah.
I would search at least two or three options before I choose one of those. But yeah, definitely like the process would be the flight, then would be the hotel. And then when that is ready, I would plan the activities according to the area that we're staying. If it's like a small town or city, that wouldn't matter that much. But if it's like a very big city, for instance, we went to New York, we traveled, we went to Florida and we came back to New York. So we booked two different places in New York, in the Upper West Side and then in the Financial District. So very different parts of New York. And then we planned our activities according to the place we were staying. So this would be my thought process. And I think most activities you can book like no more than like 5 days in advance, even like a couple of days in advance, if it's not a very big or very famous attraction that you want to visit. But usually like a week or a couple of weeks in advance is fine to book some attractions and things that you want to see or do. So this would be my process, like flight, hotel and activities. And probably I would, if I have, because I have so many connections and friends on Facebook and because of the travel blog, I have so many other connections with bloggers. So I would probably search for a person who is a local in that area. If it's a big city, like I can have at least a few people there.
Right.
And I would definitely ask them about some insider tips, because the thing with travel blog is that and I actually agree with you that if you go to a forum, it could be a little bit better than going through a travel blog, especially if it's not a travel blog that's focused, because there are many, many travel blogs that just recreate or refurbish the advice given by other people without being to a place. So they're just like writing. Mm-hmm. And with our website that we created like a few years ago, actually in the worst years of travel history, and it's booming, which means that we're on the right track, is that we want to give very practical, battle-tested advice only from places we've been to. And yeah, I think that's very important. And we also want to keep it as practical as possible. But also when we are writing the articles, we want to include our personality, because that means that we've been to the place. Because when you're reading a lot of other travel blogs, you can see that the people haven't been there, or they're not great writers, or a combination of a lot of things, and then you cannot trust them, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I would say that following the locals is one of the best pieces of advice I can give.
Absolutely.
So whenever I'm traveling to a new place, always try to contact people at the local and ask them for insider tips. And then obviously share them with my readers. So,
yeah, absolutely. That's obviously like the best way to get to know a city is to see it from the eyes of a local. I remember, you know, even on dating apps, you would see people who are traveling and then they would say something like, I'm just here for, you know, 2 weeks. I would love if someone could show me around or something. Like it's pretty cheeky. And personally, it annoys me because as a local, it's just like, no, hire a tour guide or something. But if you think about it, it's also very practical. And
it is.
And I mean, if you can get a good date out of it, then just, you know, yeah, it's just a bonus.
Yeah.
Right.
And maybe you never know, it can develop into something even more.
Absolutely. Yeah. On the off chance that it will, right? Like, but also there's less, you know, expectation wise, there's less pressure in the relationship because he already said that he's just here for 2 weeks or something. So you can either just have fun, you know, if you really love your city. Sometimes it could be natural for you to just share some tips. I really love where I live right now. I lived in a few places around the world, and Playa del Carmen, Mexico is really one of the best places I've ever lived. So, but before, when I would see messages like that, I would just tell them like, you know, okay, I can share like my favorite spots with you, and then you can like decide what you want to do with it or something. And then so very common, I would share like a favorite restaurant, and then they would invite me to dinner at that restaurant. And so it's nice for me. It's my favorite restaurant, right? And then it also gives me a chance to get to know them. Very quickly, did you have any experience like dating and traveling, or like meeting people, going out for dates when you're traveling alone?
I've had a few chats, but I haven't even like met people, because I would usually just spend a couple of days before I traveled with my fiance or my girlfriend and now fiance. We were like just visiting places for a home or like a few weeks. Mm-hmm. But before that, I was just mostly like many years ago, I was just mostly traveling and trying to like take it really like fast and just try to see as many things as possible, which I think now is not a great way to travel, or at least that's not my style anymore, because I think especially for it doesn't matter the place, and regardless of its size, I think it's just better to really feel the atmosphere and the vibe of the city than to just say, hey, I've been to like 100 places in that city, but I don't remember 99, right? So yeah, after that, I haven't been like, before I met my now fiance, I was traveling very, very quickly from place to place, and I didn't use those apps so a lot, but I've had some connections and I've had some advice.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So yeah.
Well, the other special thing about you and I is that we have a really large community, say in digital marketing online, right?
Yeah.
Sometimes all it takes is one Facebook post. And, you know, especially if you're visiting a big city like New York, or me, I used to live in Vegas, you know, like, or here in Playa del Carmen, which is so close to Cancun. Everybody loves going to Cancun, Cabo. So even if it's not really a Facebook friend, so they would tag someone like, oh, you know, Svet, it would be good if you could meet Carla. She's a good friend of mine, or she's my neighbor and she's amazing. You guys have a great time. So that's also a pro. Can you share with me some of your favorite like travel services that, you know, obviously we're not, I just want to mention in this podcast that none of these products or websites are official sponsors of this podcast, but you could be, let me know. But we're just really here to share good information and praise for all the products and services that we love. So can you share some, Svet?
Yeah, sure. Well, the first thing that comes to my mind is, because I really like to go on some tours when I'm in a city, and we are also affiliates to that. It's Get Your Guide, and I've tested it a lot, because we wouldn't ever recommend something that we haven't tested. So Get Your Guide is a great website that you can book day trips or trips Ooh. For a few days, even like half day trips or tours. And I think their support is great because once I had some problem, and they replied in within like, I think, 8 hours, and they mm-hmm. fixed it. So it's really, really good. Yeah, I think they're based in Germany. That's mm-hmm. why they are so pedantic about their support and everything else. What else? Like, probably the usual suspects, like, I wouldn't say service, but Google Maps is something that I cannot live without in a big city.
Otherwise, absolutely. Yeah.
And you can do so much with Google and Google-related services that mm-hmm. it's crazy. But here's like a tip that, for instance, when you're traveling to a country because I live in Bulgaria and we are part of the European Union, we can travel within the European Union without mm-hmm. having to like pay for phone because we have this free mm-hmm. roaming. Mm-hmm. So probably that's not a great tip for most countries, but if you're traveling to a country where it's very expensive to have mobile data and stuff, you can mm-hmm. just download a map app on Google and use it offline. Mm, and it works right. great. Well, I used it in a few countries and it works amazingly well. So that's a tip. What else? I think booking.com is especially for when I'm booking hotels. And if you use, there are so many filters, and I think most people are just skipping the filters. There are like 100 filters, maybe more, on the left side when you're booking. I actually wrote an email last week to my list, to our travel list, saying how you can use booking.com as a pro, because if you use all those filters for a place which gives you like 500 searches or actually results, mm-hmm. then you can narrow them down with those filters to like, let's say 20 or 30, and then you can use like some lists, and then you can compare the prices and everything else, and it gets the job done much, much easier and much faster, especially when you're a busy person. And I think most people are busy, especially if they're listening to this podcast. I think that saves you a ton of time.
Yeah.
And sometimes you can just like probably add those places to favorites, and I think Booking will send you like a notification if the price is going down or something, if you're not like really dead set on like booking it right now at the mm-hmm. very moment. So yeah, I think this is for hotels. Airbnb is obviously for other like villas, mm-hmm. apartments and everything else. And Google Flights, I think, is
yes,
great.
Yes, I love that flights. Too. Yeah.
Yeah. It's so much better than everything. Like whatever Google creates is, I think, apart from Google Plus, which was a major failure. It's really, really good. And I think Google Flights is so much better. I think also Skyscanner is a great website for traveling. World Nomads for insurance, travel insurance. Mm-hmm. That's also a great service. And I think these are some of the top things that are on my mind. Probably if I have to write an article, I'm going to have like at least 10 more different services listed there. But yeah.
Yeah, that's great. That was a great list. Something similar with me. I also love Google Flights. And then I also would, if there are places that you always travel to, it's always smart to get points from that airline, right? Like,
oh, yes.
Especially long haul flights. Like, for example, I used to fly LA, Manila all the time, Los Angeles, you know, USA, and then Manila, Philippines. And that's like a 19-hour flight or, you know, 21-hour flight. But I always travel that like once a year, twice a year, you know, when I was living in Vegas and then also splitting time in the Philippines and the States. And now I'm in Mexico. It's the same. I have this favorite route, which was Mexico City, Japan, and Manila. And it's through ANA Airlines. And I always sign up for points because I know I'm going to travel that route so many times. And very quickly, you know, when you go to a certain place, like at least 3 times, if you use different airlines, you would find that there's one airline that's kind of your favorite, right? So getting points for that also helps. And so I also do that. And then, you know, basically wherever you can, you know, you can just maximize all of the points that you can get, you know, credit cards and memberships, you know, like Marriott Bonvoy, Hilton Honors. These memberships also are really, really good, especially for me, because I'm as much, I really prefer staying at hotels because there's always service. It's more secure.
Definitely.
You know, and then the expectations are always met, especially if it's a franchise, right? Like a Marriott or a Hilton. Because Airbnb, you know, even if it's a super host or, you know, there's just some unexpected things that could go wrong. Yeah, most of my Airbnb experiences were pretty good. And I've gotten better at choosing the right places, reading through a lot of reviews, really, and all that. But personally, I still prefer like staying at hotels.
Yeah, I definitely agree, especially when you're a female and you're traveling alone.
Mm-hmm.
It's so much safer to go to a hotel. It's like,
absolutely.
I'm not sure what can happen. Probably something could happen when you're at a hotel, but it's like one in a million or one in a billion chance.
Yeah.
But when you're at an Airbnb, it's much higher. And I think there was this website, Couchsurfing or something. Couchsurfing, not Couchsurfing, of course. So yeah, that's that website, I would say, I haven't tried it. Probably for a male, it's fine. But for a female, when you're going to a place, staying for free, and there are so many creeps out there,
that's
a good idea. Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely not. I know people who have used that extensively. And for me, obviously it's a good way to save money. But right now there's also so many hostels. So you can get a bed for like $8 a night or something. And you know, in the matter of safety, these hostels are a little bit better, right? Even if you go for a shared room, you know, even if it's a shared room, there's still, you know, like mutual trust and all of you paid money to be there, you know what I mean? And then you have a locker, you know, with a lock and, you know, so it's just a little bit safer. And at the end of the day, you're not like hassling anyone in someone's home, especially now everyone works remote, you know? So obviously I have never really experienced couch surfing. So I know it's a community thing and, you know, it's a meeting new friends thing as well.
Yeah, I would say, especially now with COVID, since it's still not over, I would say it's much, much more, it's even more dangerous because you never know what the person's hygiene is.
Yeah.
Obviously, without COVID, you don't know the person's hygiene is there. So it can be a very dreadful experience. So I wouldn't recommend it. But as you said, if we can go back to like reviews for a second, like I think that's very, very important, especially for Airbnb, but also for booking. I've made a few mistakes, like I would book a hotel that's less than like 8 stars, like 8-star review. The overall rating, I would say we shouldn't book anything that's lower because obviously there are some exceptions, especially if it's like a very small city and there aren't any, but went to the seaside here and I didn't like recheck it and it was like 7 or less than 7 and it's one of the worst hotels ever. So definitely look for hotels that are at least 8, the ratings at least 8 or more and you won't have a problem. And obviously read the reviews and read a lot of reviews, not just one. Spend like 20 minutes more because just spending a little bit more time on that will save you so much trouble.
Absolutely.
So much.
Absolutely. And also be aware of your biases, right? Because I've made this mistake before. I would book a hotel with some good reviews and some bad reviews, but the hotel's so cheap. So I'm just gonna watch the good reviews and I would just ignore the bad reviews, right? Or I actually made this mistake. The hotel wasn't even cheap. It was just kind of the cheapest among all of the choices that I had. So it wasn't like a $50 hotel. I think I still paid like $180 or something, but this was in Cancun. And the hotel didn't have, also if the hotel didn't have a lot of reviews, I just wouldn't go because maybe it's new, maybe it's, you know, whatever. So this hotel had like an 8 or a 7.5 or something. And then they had like 2 reviews on TripAdvisor. And then the service I was using, I think it was hotels.com, which is owned by Expedia. I think they had like 14 reviews and there was a mix of good and bad. And I still took the risk. I was like, you know, just like what you said, sometimes you travel with a certain mindset. And I just had this idea that this will probably not happen to me. And at the end of the day, I just need a place to sleep. You know, we got there and then the check-in was so long. It was like 30 minutes, honestly.
Wow.
And then we didn't know what was going on. And my Spanish is not very good. And the guy just wasn't talking to us. And it seemed like he didn't know what he was doing. It was like making copies of our IDs. And then he was like, he didn't know what he would be doing next. And then there was another couple, probably local because they spoke Spanish, and they asked him to get a taxi for them. He just left us and got a taxi for them without telling us anything. He could have at least, oh, hey, excuse me, I need to, you know, just help these people out very quickly. I'll be back, you know. And then it just took forever that I started a stopwatch just so I can have evidence on how long this has been taking.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, his manager arrived, and then the manager spoke better English, and I explained to her, and I was really frustrated, but I didn't want it to show because I was also thinking of my safety. And we would still be staying in the hotel. So I was just kind of trying to be optimistic. So she fixed everything for us and we checked in. And then thankfully the room was really beautiful. We had a beautiful view. The room was super nice. And even the toiletries were all like spa, you know, spa grade. So I was like, oh, this is nice. And then surprise, surprise, water ran out at like 10 p.m. There was no water at 10 p.m. or something.
Oh, no.
Thankfully, we already showered and like ready for bed, but it's just annoying, right? What if we went out to party and we're so sweaty, we want to shower?
Yeah.
And then, and obviously you can't really drink the water from the tap. So we had our drinking water, so that's fine. But what about like, you know, pooping, washing your face and brushing your teeth, right? So that was annoying. Yeah. I think the water didn't come back until like 7 a.m. or something, but at least we were sleeping. And then there was a door. So our room was across this little room with a vending machine and the ice.
Mm-hmm.
And the door to that room always bang. Like it bangs so loud. And so we always hear bang, bang. And it's just so annoying. So overall, we had a really bad experience. And then I went to TripAdvisor to write about my experience because I always try to give, for me, writing travel reviews is also my way to give back to the community and help other people, right? And I have over like 100,000 readers on TripAdvisor.
Oh, wow.
And then, I just discovered like how big it was like a few days ago. I just write. I just never really check. Mm-hmm. And then I wrote a review for this hotel and I found two other reviews that were much, much more horrible experiences. So one had like cockroaches. It's so funny. And then the other one had like stuff stolen from their room. So,
terrible.
Yeah. So the thing that I learned is if it's a mixed review hotel, just, you know, just don't book it. If it has very few reviews, don't book it. And there would be a few bad reviews, right? But if it's really mostly amazing reviews, then that'd be fine.
Yeah. I would say that since we are digital marketers, entrepreneurs, and people that can afford to stay in a better place, it wouldn't like that. That's why we are charging more money. That's why we are working for ourselves. Mm-hmm. We want to have this good experience. And why would we like want to like save $100 or a couple of hundred or even $1,000 when it can ruin a whole vacation for us, which we've been craving for, I don't know, 3 months?
Yeah.
And, or I know it's probably a bit, how to say, arrogant to say when you have the money that you can choose, but that's why you're working so hard. You want to make sure you're getting the service you deserve. That's why you're giving this kind of service to your clients.
Mm-hmm.
And just to save some money, it usually there's like the saying in Bulgarian, which is something like economy is the mother of misery. So if you want to save,
right,
then it's almost always something that you're going to be more miserable and the experience is going to be so much worse that it's probably better to spend more money. It's going to be cheaper when you're spending more than when you're trying to save, but then the experience is so bad that
you're
probably going to say you want to have a headache or some kind of illness, God forbid, and then you have to spend money on that. And it's so much that can happen. So if you have the chance to splurge a little bit more, I would definitely encourage everybody who is doing that. Just
to guarantee a good experience. Absolutely.
Also, let's say you are traveling from one city, from one continent to another continent, and just to save, let's say, a couple of hundred, but you have to commute for 10 hours more, I wouldn't say it's worth it.
Yeah. Absolutely. I'm like that too. I always pick the shortest layovers unless I want to see that place. And then I do a very long layover. like a 22 hour, if I want to get out of the airport and see the city. I did this a lot in Asia. I would always lay over in Singapore because there's, you know, Singapore airport is so big. So I, you could fly like Manila, Malaysia, Singapore, or there'd be like Phuket, Singapore, Davao, you know, so I always took those flights. And Singapore is a beautiful country, a beautiful city. So I always make sure that my layovers are long and then I get out and enjoy the city. Also, I think, you know, worthy to say and remind everyone, if you're traveling alone, make sure that you budget really well, right? You budget for emergencies and have an extra credit card ready also, you know, like an emergency credit card. And I think that at the very least, also try to check options for instant transfers or, you know, I have a friend who traveled to Korea or Japan and she literally ran out of money while she was there. And like she had no credit cards and, you know, she ran out of money on her debit card. She had no money. So she had to have, I think, a friend of hers or a cousin or a sister, Western Union her some money. And for me, it was good because it worked and, you know, she was fine. But for me, that's just scary, right? Like that's a crazy experience. And she said it was her, like, she wasn't really a very experienced traveler and she had a day job that was so stressful. You know, she worked for the government and then she didn't research the place she was going to and what is the daily, you know, expected expenditure in that place. So I think you also have to be specific in researching even menus. Look at menus at the restaurants that you want to eat at, right? Like you have to be really ready.
I mean, we went to Greece like last month and it was okay, but I know there are some islands in Greece like Mykonos, which is a party island, and especially some streets in obviously most in many cities as well, but you can spend like 300 euros, which is, I think, the same amount in dollars right now because the dollar is the same. So it's like $300 just for one lunch for 2 weeks and cocktails.
Oh, gosh.
And then if you move like, I don't know, 5 minutes away from that street, then you can have something like for $50 or less. So it's...
I see.
You have to really make do your research. And obviously some islands are just like so expensive that everything will be expensive there. But it doesn't reflect the whole country. I'm pretty sure in Japan, in general, it's a very expensive country. But at the same time, you can find some stuff that's not so expensive. Or my mother visited and I think sometimes they would go to the supermarket and buy some sushi, which was very, very good quality and would be, I don't know, $10, which is a very good price compared to when you go to a restaurant and you order. So there are some ways that you can budget. And sometimes when you're traveling and you want to see a little bit more, then you don't need to always like spend a ton of money on eating, obviously. You can just like have a sandwich or go to something that's not so expensive. So many, many different ways to save. And it depends on your travel style. So I cannot speak for everyone, but... I would usually sometimes go to like a very expensive place or space that's like at the higher range, just to experience and to splurge and to reward myself for whatever reason. But most of the time, I'm okay with reasonably priced restaurants because I want to spend more time on traveling than just eating, obviously. So
And you know, eating is, you just have to do it, right? Like. And any food will make you feel full. And, you know, it's not going to be amazing, I guess, but it's going to make you feel full. That's why sometimes when I travel, especially with my sisters, who are sometimes erratic to travel with, there's like three girls traveling together. Sometimes, you know, the plans are just like crazy. And then my youngest sister, my baby sister, she's listening to this, Angela, she always wakes up late. It's so hard to wake her up. So even if we do like breakfast plans, we would just be so annoyed because she would wake up late. So what I do is that if we travel together or even if I travel by myself now, I always buy eggs because one of my, actually my favorite foods in the world is a hard boiled egg. I'm just very simple. Yeah. Sometimes if I'm always have eggs in my fridge because if I'm hungry and I'm too lazy to cook or Uber Eats or even make a peanut butter sandwich, I just hard boil an egg and I'm actually very, very happy. So
and it's a very good food, very fulfilling and very healthy as well.
Yeah, so. It's very protein dense. It's, you know, if you boil it, you're not using any oil or anything. If you have organic eggs, much better. So There's no effort. There's literally no effort because you're boiling it. So I guess, maybe if you're traveling alone, also know the simple meals that you like eating. Beef jerky is also like a really common snack for me. Protein bars, right? So
protein bars are great. And also I can give another tip that can save a lot of money. And I think it's almost always better is to have a reusable bottle that you can bring to different airports or even in the city. But especially at airports, because the prices are so crazy, like $3, $4, $5 for just one bottle. And sometimes when you're traveling long distances, you need a couple, or your layover is like 4 hours. You will buy like 3 bottles at like $10. When you can save that with water that's probably sometimes better quality. I don't know about, but most of the time when I'm traveling and when I drink water and I'm not hydrated, this usually means for me that the water is not very good quality.
Yeah.
And I prefer to have some tap water from somewhere at the airport.
Uh-huh.
And if you have a reusable bottle, you can save tons of money. You can drink much better water as well. So
I
think it's a very, very good tip.
Very, very good tip. Because also if you don't have access to food, or if you're on a long haul flight and you unfortunately fell asleep when they were giving out the food, at least you have water. There's that.
And it's very, very important to stay hydrated, because it can give you headaches, it can give you a lot of other things.
Or even a heat stroke.
It's much worse when you're dehydrated. So
absolutely. Yeah. If you travel to a very humid place like Mexico, and then if you forget how humid it is and how much you're sweating, you could get a heat stroke. You know, it's so hot and that could be dangerous for you. So stay hydrated. All right. So, oh my gosh, I learned, this was so much fun. We learned definitely a lot of things today about traveling alone. Thank you for your tips. But any last words for our solo travelers, and where can they find you and your amazing travel content?
You're very welcome. It was a pleasure talking to you. And just to wrap this up, I think my last tip would be to just enjoy the place. Don't rush to see everything. Mm-hmm. If you're going to like Paris, Rome, New York City, Beijing, Manila, whatever big cities, like over 10 million, you cannot see everything even in a month. Yeah, like some museums take more than a month, like the Louvre in Paris. So just pick a few of those things that you want to see really, and then just enjoy, grab some beer or whatever you're drinking. If you're not if you don't drink alcohol, just sit at the bench, people watch and enjoy. And I think this is how you really feel the vibe, and you can say, hey, I've been to New York City. I've experienced New York City, because you can be in different places, but you haven't experienced them. That's totally different. And if you want, as you said, like if you want to follow me and my journey and our tips with my friend that we're giving, it's 33traveltips.com. The website is growing. We post a new article every couple of weeks, and we have an email list, and we send weekly emails that are packed with value. And so that's it.
Yeah. So, we're super grateful for you, Svet. Thanks for sharing all your wisdom with us. And, you know, this was just like, I don't know, 40, 45 minutes, 50 minutes of great advice from you and hearing your stories. But there's so much more good content coming from my friend Svet. So don't forget to visit 33traveltips.com and also get on their email list. Now that the world's opening up, I'm sure a lot of you guys are just itching to travel. You have some savings there. You saved up some credit card points. So get the best tips from his website. And don't forget to, you know, share your best travels with us also. You can follow me on Instagram at Karla Stefan, KarlaStefan. And I'm also on Facebook, Karla Singson. So thank you so much. This has been None of Your Business. And have a great day, everyone. I'll see you on the next episode. Bye. So it's a wrap. To my entrepreneur friends, I hope that you found this episode interesting and enjoyable. I know I did. Support us by following me on Instagram at Karla Stefan, KarlaStefan, and our sponsor, Scalewind_Outsourcing. Also, if you like this series, Find us on Spotify and Apple iTunes, none of your business. You can also follow me on YouTube. My handle is Carla Singson, and maybe leave us a comment or a review because you're cool like that. If there's any topic that you want to request, feel free to reach out. I only have two requirements. You tell me why you find it interesting, and you promise it's not business talk. Thank you for joining me, and thank you for your interest in fun stories. Now we can get back to business. See you next week, and remember, everything here is none of your business.